Welcome to Time for Revival with Pastor Vivian McCalman of Healing and Miracle Church in Brooklyn, New York. For more information, call 347-365-4483 or email them at myjesusheals@outlook.com. Now, here's Pastor Vivian.
Praise the Lord. Greetings in the precious name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Always a great joy to be coming your way in the broadcast today, and the Lord continually fills my heart with revelation so that you can be blessed. Amen. Today on this broadcast, I want us to talk about taking dominion in the name of Jesus, and I'm going to be giving you an overview of spiritual warfare. It's time to take dominion. If I should give a secondary heading for this topic, I would say, don't let Satan eat your lunch. A lot of people are going hungry because the devil is eating their lunch, but you can stop it today. That's what this message is about, how to stop the devil from eating your lunch. Before we get into the message today, I would like us to just praise the Lord for a minute. Father, we praise the name of Jesus. When last have you taken some time off to praise God? Maybe you were overwhelmed by the pandemic and all the challenges that face New York City and the United States of America, and you have not been praising God. Join with me and let's praise God right now. Father, we praise your holy name because it's great, it's powerful, it's mighty. It cannot be defeated. I join heart with everyone who's listening right now in all the five boroughs and farther field of this New York state, Lord, and New Jersey and Connecticut. In the name of Jesus, we praise you. And we thank you because your power is great. I pray that your anointing will be released on this broadcast to break every chain. Satan, you are rebuked. Get off the people. Let revelation and healing flow in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We are talking about it's time to take dominion. Can we pray for the justices of the Supreme Court of these United States of America again? We must not be weary in well-doing. You know, many times we pray and then we stop. But prayers for such things like the Supreme Court must be a continual stream of prayers because it's rapidly changing. It's very dynamic. And we need to have continual, persistent prayer of the Supreme Court. And then we can put in a prayer for Guyana in South America, that the Lord will bring peace and stability continually in that nation also. Let's begin with the Supreme Court of the United States of America and joining right where you are as we pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, the greatest name given in the universe, we lift up the nine justices of the Supreme Court of these United States of America. Father, they are men and women with feeble lips and tongues that will make decisions to affect all mankind for eternity. We ask that the Holy Spirit of God and the holy angels of God move where possible upon them within their deliberations. Lord, in Jesus' name, we bind the powers of darkness that seem to impose their will on the justices. And we ask that your voice come through clear to them all. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we pray for the dear land of Guyana in South America, the northeastern coast of South America, borders by the Atlantic Ocean. We pray in Jesus' name that you would speak peace and quietness in the dear land. At this time, Lord, when they are just about, Lord, having a lot of challenges in the election, we speak peace and we ask you, God, to come clear through to the nation. Satan, take your hand off that nation. We decree that that nation will not be the root of any communist nor socialist bondages. In Jesus' name, let your angels go and bring deliverance to the people, that this nation will be a free nation to do the things of God. Again, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise the Lord. Praise the very mighty tool that we have. And we are commanded to do it according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Today we are talking about taking dominion in spiritual warfare, and all I can do today is to give you an overview of it. It's a very vast topic. We'll have to go into it in the different sections from time to time, but this is a general overview of spiritual warfare. We are commanded to do spiritual warfare. In the book of Ephesians chapter 10, Ephesians chapter 6, reading from verse 10, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." If you have a pen and a piece of paper, write some notes and keep it for yourself. You will need it so you can study it again. Amen. God is sending good stuff for you. Be diligent to go it over again. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." In this scripture, the word of God admonishes us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of God's might. It is a decision we have to make. Sometimes when we look at someone God uses mightily, we tend to think, feel, or imagine that God has favored that person above everyone else, or that person got some lucky ticket from God that made them special. So special that God is using them greatly. But if we closely examine the lives of these persons mightily used of God, we will find that they had to make some sacrificial decisions that brought them into the power of God. Yes, they had to make some sacrificial decisions. Amen. I believe that God, amen, will help us so that we can all become his favorite if we will obey his word. To be God's favorite, you have to obey his word. Amen. Nobody has a monopoly in God's blessings. Ephesians 6:11 tells us, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may stand against the schemes of the devil." Yes, we are told to put on the whole armor of God so that we can get into the prayer fight. That's the reason why we have to put on the whole armor of God, to get into the prayer fight, get into spiritual warfare. The question is, why is spiritual warfare necessary? Amen. Why do we have to get into combat? Because someone called Satan stands ready to eat your lunch. Satan stands ready to steal your blessing. He's a thief. He has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He stands by to take away your dominion. You see, dominion is what God has given to mankind, to all of us. If you go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, we see where God delivered dominion to mankind. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, "And God says, our God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over all the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." It's in your Bible. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Notice the Bible says male and female created he them. The Bible never said male and male or female and female. Sometimes we get so scientific that we confuse ourselves. But let's keep it simple today. Amen. The point I want you to look at today is that God says, let the people, let them have dominion over his creation. We were given dominion over creation. And God listed the sphere of our dominion. He says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over all cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. We were given a domain to reign on the earth and to explore in the universe also, the atmosphere. Then Satan came along and he stole that dominion. We see where that dominion was stolen from Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3. I will encourage you to read the whole chapter for yourself, but I just want to read one part of it. It says in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God hath known the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." This was a spiritual conflict of words. And the Bible says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and also unto her husband with her, and did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together to make and made themselves aprons." They lost the conflict of words. Our words are really powerful. They lost the conflict. They lost the warfare. Amen. The point I would like you to see in this scripture is a change in dominion. Before they obeyed God, they were in dominion. After they obeyed the devil, they brought shame on themselves. So much shame, sin, and guilt appeared that they made fig leaf suit and covered themselves. Can you imagine Adam and Eve in fig leaf suits? And Satan was in charge of the world. Satan became the boss of the world. Do you notice that the Bible never mentioned the devil as the one who spoke to the woman, but rather the serpent? My thoughts on it is that the ordinary serpent had a legitimate right to operate and function in the garden. And Eve was of a lesser authority than Adam and Eve. Of course he was. Satan, who entered the serpent, had no legitimate right nor authority to speak in that garden. Amen. In simple terms, the animal had more authority or right to operate in the garden than Satan. So Satan used the authority of the animal because he had nothing greater than that to use. And Adam and Eve were given authority over the authority of the animals. Amen. Satan was simply using the authority of the serpent to be able to say something. Without that borrowed authority, he would not have been able to say anything. He could not have come through the body or the authority. He could have rather, let me say, come through the body or the authority of some other animal. Adam and Eve, on the other hand, had no right to be directed by a serpent or any other animal. They were boss of those things. Whether or not the devil was disguising is not the matter here. The matter, they were given authority that they were not supposed to relinquish. Amen. God gave him authority over all the garden, and God said, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Here we see where the human race lost it. From this point, there was a new Lord on the earth. And he, Satan, established his kingdom called the kingdom of darkness. That kingdom is marked by sin, disease, pain, fear, and the old 9 yards ministered or administered by the evil agents, which are demons and evil spirits. They are the messengers of Satan. Amen. I think it was John Alexander Dowie, a great preacher of the 20th century, rather the 19th century, who said that sickness and diseases are the foul offspring of his mother's sin and his father, Satan. So Satan establishes kingdom on the earth. He and his co-conspirators are demons and evil spirits. You know, there are some people who say that demons are not real, evil spirits are not real. Satan likes that because he can continue doing all his work without being, you know, recognized. But that's not just the first part of the story. In order to help mankind, God's plan of redemption kicked in. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him could not perish but have everlasting life." Shall not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus came to the door of the Virgin Mary. One of his first order of business before he began his ministry was to earn the right to operate or dominate where he ministered. And in order to do that, he had to take up from where Adam failed. Adam failed in temptation. Jesus had to win in temptation so that he can have the right to operate on this planet called Earth. We see the first battle of Jesus and the devil in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. You read it for yourself, please. We don't have enough time for that today, but go to Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, Then Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. In those days, he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he was afterward hungered. And we see where the devil came and gave him three great temptations. I don't have time to go into them all, but let's look at the one in verses 5 through 8. It says, "And when the devil and the devil taketh him," that is Jesus, "into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The devil offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world." Amen. Jesus was told by the devil the kingdoms were his. Satan said, the kingdoms are mine. They were delivered to me. That is true. That is what Adam did. Adam and Eve did. He delivered, they delivered the dominion and the kingdoms of the world that their generations were to bring to the serpent, which was the devil speaking through them. So they lost it. The devil was saying, this kingdom is mine and I can give it to whomsoever I will. But Jesus rebuked him. Jesus won the fight. Amen. Hallelujah. The other congregational warfare that Jesus had to overcome was at the cross, where he made the great choice not to save himself, a great battle. In this battle, Satan used men to punish him, and Jesus had to decide not to fight back, but to give himself a ransom for us all. Our sins, not his sins, led him to the cross. He could have saved himself by coming down from the cross, but he did not. In fact, they taunted him. If you be the Christ, come down from the cross and save thyself and us, and we believe. No, he did not come down. In fact, he stayed on the cross. Isaiah the prophet got a vision of it even before Jesus was born. And this is what he declared. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him. We did esteem Christ, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on himself our sins, our iniquities. Jesus took upon us our sins, our shortcomings, so that we can become a part of God's family again. Amen. After Jesus arose, he gave the dominion that he earned to his followers, which we are. Every child of God has more power than the devil. Every one of us. The weakest child of God has more authority than the devil. Our responsibility, however, is to enforce the victory Jesus has won. If you allow the devil to eat your lunch, by bringing sickness, disease, torment, fear, premature death, failure, and the whole nine yards on you, it's your call. The ball is in your court. Don't let the devil eat your lunch. Amen. But we have to do it God's way. The Bible says, submit therefore yourself to God. James 4:7, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Yes, as we submit to God by obeying his word, by walking in righteousness, and we tell the devil, get, he will go. Also in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible declares, ye are of God, the children have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The dominion that was lost, Jesus won it and gave it back to us. Amen. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes in us. That's the way we get connected to this dominion, first by the new birth. Jesus said in St. John chapter 3 and verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus did not stop there with the new birth. When we are born again, we come into the kingdom of God. But he also declared to us in Mark chapter 16 to go into all the world and preach the gospel with power. We read in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 19, where the Bible says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus is speaking. He continued, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, the precious name of Jesus. That is why people are fighting that name. That name is powerful. Demons tremble at that name. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So after that the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up in heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming his words with signs following. Amen. He did not only give us the authority to preach, but he also filled us with the Holy Ghost. Write down Acts 1:8 and look at it when you have more time. He says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I have to hasten to a close today, but I want to pray for those who have all kind of tormenting diseases in your body, or some kind of mental affliction, or spirits of suicide. I want to come against those things today. Maybe you or for your family member, join with me as I pray in Jesus' name and believe God. There is no distance, and I feel the anointing of God upon me to break every spiritual attack, mental attack, physical attack. Amen. Be in the name of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name, I come against every affliction of the evil one. Satan, I command you in Jesus' name. Loose the people. I send the word of healing, the name that cannot be defeated. Every demon, every disease, every infirmity, every pestilence, every mental torment, every spirit of suicide, every work of darkness sent to afflict the people. Loose the people and let them go in the mighty name of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. Put your hand in your heart if you're not born again and say, Lord Jesus, please forgive my sins. And come into my heart, and believe me, he will come in. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you to be a partner in prayer and the support of this ministry. Take this information and write it down quickly and give us a call. You may call us at 917-603-3634, 917-603-3634. You may write us at Healing and Miracle Church, Healing and Miracle Church, 3519 Newkirk Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11203. You may give by Cash App. The Cash App, download the Cash App and use the code Healing and Miracle, or by phone, Zelly by phone, using the number 917-603-3634. 917-603-3634. You may again write us at Healing and Miracle Church, 3519 Newkirk Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. 3519 Newkirk Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11203. Amen. You may email us at My Jesus Heals. So simple. My Jesus Heals. @outlook.com. Until the next broadcast, get ready to receive more from God. The blessings of the Lord be with you in the mighty name of Jesus. Take dominion. It belongs to you, every child of God. Put the devil under your feet and arise to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love you, Lord.
Tune in every Tuesday night at 9:30 and Saturday morning at 10:30 for Time for Revival with Pastor Vivian McCalman from Healing and Miracle Church. Join them for Sunday morning services at 10:30 and Thursday evenings at 7:30 at 3519 Newkirk Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. Email them at myjesusheals@outlook.com or call 917-603-3634 or 347-365-4483.